Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center's studios. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Southern Steak and Oyster, downtown 615, just around the corner from the Omni. Talking college football to everybody. 888-702-5494. Brad Powers out there in Vegas joins us. Brad, how you been, bud?
Excellent. How about yourself on this fine Friday morning?
First question, and I don't think I've asked you this one. I don't think this is even out, but you can estimate for us. That Ole Miss Texas Tech opener, what's the over and under going to be?
I don't believe it is out even at five dimes yet. Not a total
right.
Is out on that one. Oof, I like when you put me on the spot. I'm going to say, boy, low 70s. And now I know a lot are going to want to go higher, but keep in mind, routinely early in the season, games are a little bit lower scoring, generally speaking. Then at the end of the year, when you really got those offenses humming, sometimes with the extended period off, it takes a while to adjust. But, I would say low 70s, 72, 73. I think that certainly be one of the highest totals on the board week one.
I know I've asked you this before. Can you recall the highest over and under in college football?
I want to say high 80s, like maybe a Baylor-Texas Tech game a couple years back, but right around like 88. I think there was a California-Oregon game from a couple years ago that was right in that ballpark, 88 to 90, and ended up going over because of overtime. And that's been right around – there's been probably three games that have been right around 88 to 90 as far as a total.
That's amazing. and the one went over. Wow.
Yeah, I think all of them have went over. So I'll tell you what, in the first commercial break, I'll just confirm that. And, that's about the highest. And I'll tell you what, 15 years ago, it was astronomical to get totals in the 60s in college football. And now, 15 years later, you just don't blink an eye. And you routinely see totals in the 70s every week. And you'll get, five, six games every year with a total in the low 80s.
From the various media days that we've had so far, SEC, Big 12, ACC, what are a few things that stood out to you?
I don't follow. A couple years ago, I really went all in on media days. And to me, that was a big waste of my time because I barely got anything on it. I just try to read headlines. I would say Smith being back for Tennessee. Now, is it going to move a Vegas line? No, but that's a key cog for the offensive line for the Volunteers. I thought he was going to play, so it's not like he went from doubtful to probable. But at least that was a big question mark, at least for Tennessee, that gets cleared up before the season. I agreed with Lincoln Riley saying that this year's team might possibly be more talented than last year's team, and that Oklahoma has a very high ceiling. We'll see if they can get there. I agree with that assessment, and I think Oklahoma's kind of a high-variance team where I could easily see them. If Kyler Murray lives up to expectations in his final year of playing football and goes all out, I mean, Oklahoma could be right back in the playoff, or they could stumble a little bit, and the chemistry's not there with Baker Mayfield, and it could be a three-loss Oklahoma team. So I at least agree on paper with the head coach, Lincoln Riley, thinking that, you know, Oklahoma's personnel on defense is a little bit better. And I think overall talent level might even be better than last year's team. That's just a couple of nuggets I got from Media Days this week.
We were talking about Ole Miss a little bit last hour, just towards the end, and Kip tweets, he says, ask Brad about this. He said, Ole Miss is in for a bad year. They're probably going to be an underdog in every SEC home game and at least two of the road contests. He says, I think that they have to beat Texas Tech to have a shot to go 6-6. What do you see there in the Rebels?
Yeah, and he's kind of right, because you look at the marketplace on Mississippi, and the money's really come in against Mississippi this year. You know, the over-under for Mississippi was actually set right around 6 early on in the marketplace, and that number has kind of come down. The money's come in on the under. It's still at the south point of 6. I think a couple other places here in Vegas, the win total for them is at 5.5. You know, the game against Texas Tech, I mean, it's a toss-up game. Texas Tech right now about a 1.5, 2-point favorite. So, obviously a key game. Ole Miss clearly right now in Vegas, about a 3-touchdown home underdog to Alabama. Be favored over Southern Illinois and Kent State. So, I mean, if they can beat Texas Tech, the expectation should be at least 3-1 to start. And they also got a home game against ULM. And, you know, that should be 4 wins if they can beat Texas Tech. And then after that, yeah, I mean, he's correct. I mean, a lot of tough home games for them. But I definitely think, you know, South Carolina can possibly be winnable. That game, we'll see Ole Miss probably, you know, pick them or a little bit of a short underdog there. At Vanderbilt, another winnable game there. So I definitely agree. A win against Texas Tech and a bowl game becomes a really good possibility, a loss. And I think Ole Miss going under their season win total at 6.
I want to reiterate something. A lot of people have been down on Florida coming up this year, but I've heard some renewed enthusiasm, and you have never been down on this Florida team coming up, best I can tell.
No, I just thought that. I mean, one of the most improved teams in the country. I mean, he had historically poor performance last year. I mean, started before the season, 10 guys get suspended. I mean, at the end of the year, there was a couple games where they were down 28 scholarship players from the 85. So basically taking a recruiting class and a few others off your team, and then you're playing with an interim coach, and, I mean, just had disaster written all over it. You know, am I a huge fan of Dan Mullen? No, but I still think it's a very good hire. And anytime you can have the success that you had at Mississippi State, it should translate to at least similar, if not better, success at Florida. You got one of the most experienced teams in the country coming back, and that's a positive. Depth is decent there. I know future, looking at recruiting rankings for next year, I know there's not some maybe positive vibes out there, but that doesn't matter to me as far as on the field for this year. And, you know, just looking at the schedule, be easily favored in each of their first three games, slight favorite at Tennessee. You know, favorite on the road against Vanderbilt. They get Missouri and South Carolina both at home, two teams that they're battling for the number two slot behind Georgia in the SEC East. Idaho's at home. I mean, season win total opened at 7.5 for Florida. It's gotten bet up to 8. I agree with that. I think it's an 8-4 type of season for the Gators this year.
SEC Football Media Days, ACC Media Days, and also the Big 12. And I don't know, were you watching the Big 12? Because you said you're not a big fan of the Media Days. I'm not really either, but I did. I'll admit, I sat there and watched most of it. Tom Herman, were you able to watch him?
I did not watch Tom Herman's press conference.
It was a little bit awkward. And again, I don't know what that means, if anything. Is there a chance that we have bought in too much to Tom Herman and what he accomplished at Ohio State as the coordinator and then at Houston, et cetera?
Oh, there's definitely a chance of that. I mean, because he only had 2 years at Houston, he had a lot of, you know, high-profile wins there. You know, I'll admit that I thought, you know, even though they beat Louisville and Oklahoma in the season 2 years ago, I still thought that was a disappointing season that they couldn't take care of business against some of their other opponents, you know, getting upset by SMU and whatnot in that season as a 3-touchdown favorite. Memphis was a loss. Navy a loss as a 17-point favorite. I thought that was a disappointing season to go 9-3 when you pretty much hammered Oklahoma and Louisville. And then last season, you know, look, I mean, they're a few plays away from winning 9 games, but again, 7-6. I mean, Texas came in under their season win total, so they didn't live up to expectations. Even though you look at least on the field performance wise, defense was top 20, offense just couldn't figure out the quarterback, and they were right there in games against USC, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. So I didn't necessarily think last year was such a disappointment. I guess, you know, I'm more positive because, you know, I see the recruiting rankings. I mean, Texas just signed their best class in probably 6-7 years, number 3 class in the country. So I'm very positive on that. But there's no question about it. I mean, the body of work isn't there where, you know, it was an Urban Meyer situation where he immediately turned around Bowling Green 2 years and went to Utah and had them turn around. I mean, his vast, you know, and that's a guy, Urban Meyer, that Tom Herman worked for. I mean, at least his body worked first 3 years as a head coach was superior, in my opinion, to Herman. But still, I mean, he did lead Houston at a win over Florida State in a bowl game. I'm still on the up and up on the positive side of Texas, although the market is starting to get to the point. I'm glad you brought this up. I mean, Texas season win total now is 9 at South Point, the last I looked. That's higher than my numbers, and you're talking to a guy that, you know, went all in on Texas as far as early tickets, you know, betting them against USC, and also a couple of their early games, obviously the Oklahoma game, getting an early number there. I would say at a lot of current numbers in Vegas, season win total, game of the year lines, I would say Texas is a little bit overrated in the marketplace. When the opening numbers, I thought, had them underrated.
Got to get the first break here. Brad, tell everybody about BradPowerSports.com.
BradPowerSports.com, glad you brought it up because just this week we posted another update of the issue. It's the Powers Pick newsletter. And you want to get covered for college football betting in the offseason, NFL betting in the offseason, you can download the past couple of issues to get you geared up for 2018 absolutely free. Just go to BradPowerSports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page. That tab, you can download past issues of the newsletter. Check out all the records, every single pick that I've had the last 3 years combined in football. Check that out. And then if you like what you see, it's the lowest price offered right now. If you go to my store, the newsletter's $79. But if you go to the Bill King tab, make sure you're clicking that. You can get the newsletter for just $69. Go to BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page.
Coming back from the Southern Second Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
We now have a multiple vehicle accident on I-40 westbound right at the 40-24 split. Be careful in that area. Crews also on the scene on Interstate 40 westbound at Spence Lane due to a stalled vehicle. Expect a few brake lights in that area. Seeing our typical area slow down, 24-40 merger, as well as the 65-24 merger north of town. But good news right now coming out of Rutherford County on 24, things moving pretty good. New Beginnings Landscape, serving all of Middle Tennessee. Call New Beginnings Landscape at 615-256-8873. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
I used to leave voicemails for myself because the only one I could trust to get something done right was me.
Hey, you, it's me. Remember to order safety goggles and grab some milk on your way home.
But now I use Grainger. Grainger's got the technical support you'd expect from America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. They're in the business of helping my business, so no more talking to myself. Now I talk to Grainger because when it comes to keeping your business running, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625. 96-25.
Now, top excuses for not wearing a seatbelt, as told by guys in Tennessee.
Man, I get claustrophobic, though, you know?
That's not claustrophobia. That's safety.
I don't know. I get this rash.
Are you sure that's from a seatbelt?
I don't need one. I've got my airbag.
Seatbelts and airbags work together. Think teamwork, like sports.
Nobody tells me what to do in my vehicle.
Ever heard of stoplights or speed limits? There's really no good excuse for not wearing a seatbelt. Click it or ticket. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
As the 2018 season comes down the stretch, you won't want to miss a single minute of Atlanta Braves baseball.
Sock to center. Pilar on his horse. Straight back to the wall. Looks up. Gone! Straight away center for Ozzie Albies.
Tonight, the Braves are back from the All-Star break as they kick off the second half with a huge division battle against the Washington Nationals.
Coverage of your Atlanta Braves baseball starts tonight at 5:50 on Nashville Sports Radio.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Chance of storms this morning across Music City, otherwise sunny and hot, a high of 91. Mostly cloudy, warm, chance of a storm tonight, low 73. Chance of a storm and sunny and hot on Saturday. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherLog Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Southern Steak and Oyster. Brought to you by the Omni. Brad Powers out in Vegas with us. Jeff, too, tweets this, Brad. He says, is there anywhere in Vegas where you can get a bet on two teams that you think will play in the national title game with the exact score? He said, if so, what odds would you be given? And what would be the max bet they would allow you to place in?
Tough question there because, that's going to be team specific. If you got Alabama, right. Clemson versus, UNLV and Colorado State or teams like that playing in the national title game, obviously that's going to affect the line. But let's just use the top two teams. Alabama, Clemson, they're going to play in the title game. Alabama right now is like a 2-1 type of team. Clemson right now is 4 or 5-1 to win the national title. Those are those two odds. Times those together, you're looking at least 10-1 there. And then, looking at maybe an exact score, just a lot of moving variables there. You're going to be offered, even with the two favorites, Alabama and Clemson, with the exact score. Exact scores, to get the exact score, you're looking at 50-1, 100-1 odds, if they, and I'm probably selling that short. So kind of a complicated question, but at minimum, if you just do the math there, 500-1, 1,000-1 to get the exact score on the teams in the national title game, I would say it's even more than 1,000-1, even using the two favorites, Alabama and Clemson.
Low Country Buff, he's a big Colorado fan. He wants to know your thoughts on Colorado State.
I like Colorado a lot in that game. That's of the Bob Steakhouse variety, and that's coming in strong on that one. But, looking at it specifically, Colorado's about a 6-point favorite. I think the Buffs are undervalued in the marketplace. Keep in mind, the expectations were high for them last year coming off a 10-win season. They disappointed with only 5 wins, only 10 returning starters. So I think the expectation is, hey, Colorado could be, maybe even taking another step back. I don't think that's the case. Going through the team position by position. Now, they're a little inexperienced on the offensive side, losing Phillip Lindsay at running back, their top 3 receivers. But, you still have Steven Montez back at quarterback. I think they're still in decent shape there. I think the defense, last year after they took a step back losing Jim Leavitt, they're going to be much improved, particularly up front. Looking at Colorado State right now, I mean, Colorado State is the least experienced team in the country coming back, lost a ton of production on offense and also on the defensive side of the ball. And then, you know, you just look at the last couple of years in the matchup between these two. You know, last year's game was a little bit misleading score, but still Colorado was able to win by a couple of touchdowns. They dominated the game a couple of years ago. And, boy, Mike Bobo has done a decent job there, but, I mean, it's not been overwhelming. A lot of question marks on that side of the ball, particularly offense for Colorado State. I like Bob Stakehouse. Give me Colorado minus six on that one.
For everybody, that's strong. Yeah, that's coming strong there from him. Low Country Buff also wants to know, he says, week three, North Carolina hosting UCF. And he says he loves it because North Carolina is getting points. Is that correct?
Yeah, although that line has come tremendously down compared to where it was at the South Point in late May, it opened North Carolina plus 11. That was above Bob Stakehouse. That would take the whole family, the relatives, Bob Stakehouse. I'm in on that one. The problem is that opened plus 11. Now it's plus 3.5. So that is actually the biggest line mover in the game of the year lines at South Point out of the first 75 games they offered. That's moved more than a touchdown, 7.5 points. Even at the current number of 3.5, as long as you can get that hook, what we call the extra half point around a key number, I would still lean with North Carolina plus the 3.5 over UCF.
That got bet down more than the Michigan-Notre Dame game did, correct?
No, close. I think they're both right around 7.5 points as far as – actually, no. The Notre Dame-Michigan game actually moved a little bit more. Game of the year lines were the week two out. That's been the biggest mover. But still, the biggest single-game mover, you know, whether it's week one or week 13, has been Michigan-Notre Dame. That one's moved actually 9 points from the opener of Notre Dame being favored by 7.
Back to that Ole Miss-Texas Tech game, Vince wants to know if you like Ole Miss plus 2, the spread there, plus 2 versus Texas Tech.
You know, it's close. I mean, this would be of the John Daly's pizza, and for those new listeners out there, that means, you know, $5, $10 type of bet. And I would lean with Ole Miss. I just think, and you got one of the best wide receivers in the country. And obviously Texas Tech, you know, will be breaking in a new quarterback. You know, Ole Miss, yeah, obviously the news is going to be about Shea Patterson leaving, but the reality is that offense actually didn't miss a beat without him last year. So a little bit more stability on offense for Ole Miss. It is going to be a high-scoring game. It might be one of the highest-scoring games of Week 1, if not the most high-scoring game. So kind of a one-possession type of game is fully what I expect. Maybe whoever has the ball last wins. And that might be a good game to get in-game wagering, because a lot of times you can get better numbers on those teams. Say Texas Tech gets the ball first, scores, you can get a much better number, you know, live in-game wagering on Ole Miss. That'll probably be how I attack that game. But right now I'd lean Ole Miss plus the 2.
Rob in the 210 knows where to go fishing. Here's his question. He says, ask Brad if he sees any non-conference games where an FCS team is being undervalued against an FBS team.
Oh, he's trying to, you know, fish a lot. I haven't given that out to anyone, and he is one of my customers of mine. You know, I've started to look at it. You know, it's only available right now at 5 dimes as far as these FCS games. You know, I'll go with James Madison against NC State. James Madison, a team that won the FCS National Championship 2 years ago, played for it all last year. Now, they do lose some, you know, quite a bit of production, but right now at 5 dimes, they're getting a couple of touchdowns. That's still a top 3 FCS team in the country. You know, I kind of like James Madison plus 14. And, you know, maybe a surprising line to a lot of people out there is, you know, Kennesaw State is kind of an up-and-comer program. They're actually favored at Georgia State right now, and I actually think that line of 1 is maybe a little bit light. I think Kennesaw State probably should be about a 4-point favorite against Georgia State. I think a lot of you guys locally remember, you know, Georgia State was a team that was upset last year by one of the local teams there in Tennessee. So at least Georgia State has a history of not performing well. You know, last year against Tennessee State as a 15-point favorite, they lost outright. Kennesaw State's a top 3 team I think right now in the FCS, and I think they're the most experienced team coming back, it's that final year for that first recruiting class. Kennesaw State minus one against Georgia State. I lean with that one.
Now, that's Kennesaw-Georgia, right, which is nothing. Those teams are not an hour from each other, unless I've got the wrong. That's right, correct?
Yep, you are right. So a little bit of local rivalry there. So a little bit of a chip on their shoulders for Kennesaw. And I'm a little bit down on Georgia State, although I thought Sean Elliott did a fantastic job last year guiding Georgia State to their first bowl win. He exceeded my expectations last year. Penny Hart's a really good wide receiver at the Group of Five level. So, you know, maybe my numbers are a little bit lower on Georgia State than what they should be, but, man, that's a really tough opener for Georgia State. They're playing a far superior team in Kennesaw State than what they lost to Tennessee State last year in the opener.
I know I've asked you this several times, but I talked to so many people I can't remember. How are you 1-4 in the Big Ten East? Repeat the way you're looking at it right now. I know Buckeyes one slot, but after that, what are we doing? 2-4.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Kind of a free-for-all. I mean, if I'm doing the old magazine prediction, I mean, I might be tying some teams in.
Right.
But, pure power rating, you know, I've kind of changed. I've waffled. I think I have Michigan now in the number two slot over Penn State, who would be number three, and then Michigan State number four. But all four teams in the East are in the current top four of my power ratings. And it's real close between Michigan and Penn State. I'm waffling between back and forth there. But, you know, on paper right now, I just think Michigan's got a little more to them, obviously, on the defense side of the ball. And if Shea Patterson works out, then I just think Michigan's got a higher ceiling than Penn State. So it would be Ohio State 1, Michigan 2, Penn State 3, Michigan State 4.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of people putting Michigan in that 2 slot these days. Dave Biddle from Bucknuts the other day said the same thing. Okay, bottom of the hour break here. Brad Powers with us. If you'd like to get in, 888-702-5494. Tweet me at BillisKing and use the hashtag AskBP as in Brad Powers. We'll get those questions to him this next segment from the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Crew still on the scene on I-40 westbound at Spence Lane. That accident has been moved over to the shoulder, but you can still see some brake lights in that area. No other accidents to report, and the interstate's actually looking pretty good right now. You are going to see some slower traffic at both the mergers, 24 and 65, as well as 40 and 24, and a patch of slower traffic in the Antioch area on 24. ICU Security specializes in surveillance, camera installation, and service. ICUSecurityInc.com. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-709-2413 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-709-2413. Again, that's 800-709-2413.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Experience the true spirit of Nashville at Bar Lines, an upscale honky-tonk, live music 7 days a week, and an award-winning menu. Conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena, only blocks from Nissan Stadium, Bar Lines is the perfect spot for sports and live music fans alike. Featuring 22 flat-screen TVs, the best of Music City's up-and-coming talent, Bar Lines offers an unforgettable Nashville experience. Bar Lines has the best hot wings in Music City and handcrafted libations featuring the best local spirits and finest Tennessee whiskeys. Come on down to Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Coming up this week on Checkpoint Radio, all eyes are on Overwatch League as teams are whittled down for the very first ever grand finals in Brooklyn, New York. We've got analysis of the semifinals as well as our predictions of who's going to take the finals. Plus, with Twitch becoming a popular platform, especially with kids, what kind of parental controls does the platform have? That's all coming up on your source for esports and video game discussions, Checkpoint Radio from Westwood One. Join me, Nate, Robbie Norris, and Joe for Checkpoint Radio.
Sunday nights from 7 to 9 on Nashville Sports Radio. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
From the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Brad Powers out in Vegas. So, Brad, you looked it up. The highest over and under ever. And then the outcome after that. Tell everybody.
Yeah, it happened 2 years ago. You know, it was one of the games that I mentioned, California and Oregon. Had a total of 90 back on October 21st. Remember well, because it was a Friday night game. Total of 90 game. Did not, would, if the game ended in regulation, would not would have went under the total. The fact that you had two overtimes, over bettors ended up cashing those tickets. California wins 52-49, total score of 101. The over 90 cashes in that one. Highest total in college football history goes over.
So again, everybody, the highest set over and under was 90 for that Cal and Oregon game 2 years ago. It ended up 101. So I wonder, now who, you think the pros or the Joes won that one?
Definitely the Joes were taking the over on that one. Although, you know, going back to that one, let me just grab that because I'll look at the opening number. Opening number was 87. So, you know, look, I don't think a lot of pros were you know, going against the Joes on that one. The Joes won out, but, you know, the line movement, even some of the bigger money was on the over on that one, the fact that it moved 3 points.
Wow. God almighty. So you're not going to – that Ole Miss-Texas Tech game, you say, won't come close to that as far as the over and under that they set.
No, you know, and maybe I'm selling it short. I guess I'm just a little more conservative in nature. I'm right. Doubting it gets hung on 80. If so, I'll bet the under. Just because, I mean, keep in mind, Texas Tech also has 10 returning starters on defense. They were much improved on that side of the ball last year, and this is probably the best defense they've had in the last 6-7 years. So be very careful. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have come out and said that because, I mean, if I see a total of the upper 70s, low 80s, I'm betting the under, and I might actually have a bigger ticket on the under on that one. So I'm thinking right now, I'm looking at it, I'm expecting the total to come right around 72.
Coming out of the media days that we've seen so far, Big 12, ACC, and SEC, I'll tell you something that struck me, at least the way I saw it. I don't know if anybody else saw it this way. But coming out of Atlanta, there was a lot of praise on Mississippi State. And I asked a guy that we had on the show yesterday, Jake Wimberly. He's got a show in Jackson, Mississippi, so he covers this closely. I said, when was the last time a Mississippi State team was hyped this much leading into a season? And he said probably late 90s when they got to the SEC championship game and they played Tennessee. That was the late 90s, so about 20 years ago. He said the team a couple of years ago, Brad, the 2014 team that actually was ranked number one in the very first playoff rankings, that Mississippi State team didn't get as much hype as this team. And during the meetings in Atlanta, the hype continued. I mean, the broadcasters. My question to you is, I know what history teaches me. Historical have-nots, which is Mississippi State in essence, typically can't live up to a ton of hype. Go back through that schedule and tell me what you see in them. Do you think they will live up to it?
You know, it's a complicated question. I think a lot of it has to do with maybe a little bit of the downfall of LSU in that division, and just comparing, you know, opponents' ratings. That's definitely helping Mississippi State out. I'll pull up. I was scrambling here and trying to pull up like a historical season win total numbers for Mississippi State, at least the last 6-7 years. I'll get that to you here in a second. But just looking at the overall schedule, I mean, it's favorable for Mississippi State. Obviously, a significant favorite in the opener against Stephen F. Austin. Right now in Vegas, you can bet the Kansas State line in week two. Mississippi State on the road. And, you know, in front of Bill Snyder Family Stadium there, Mississippi State's a 2.5-point favorite in that one. They'll be favored against Louisiana at Kentucky. Mississippi State's a 3-point favorite against Florida at home. So at least on paper, first five games Mississippi State favored in. They're also favored against Texas A&M, Louisiana Tech. They're favored by double digits at Mississippi. Give me the dog in that one for the Egg Bowl. Favored against Arkansas. I mean, that right there, Mississippi State's favored in 9 of their 12 games. Does that mean they're going to win 9 games? No, not necessarily, because of the fact that a couple of those games have some short lines. The short dog at LSU, significant dog at Alabama, and then about a 6-point dog against Auburn. So schedule is favorable for them. Now, with that being said, season win total has been bet down for Mississippi State a little bit in the marketplace. They were 8.5 to open at South Point. It's currently 8. My number actually has them closer to the 8.5 range for them. I think this is an 8-4, 9-3 type of team, depending on if Nick Fitzgerald is healthy. I think he's a really good fit for that Joe Moorhead offense. And I think the first look of this Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead offense might take a couple of SEC defenses by surprise. 17 returning starters. I like Mississippi State. I mean, they're not as good as the 2014 team, but, I mean, let's be realistic. 3 of the last 4 years, this is a team that won 9 games. And at least on paper right now, this is probably the best personnel and talent that they've had. So, you know, I'm probably buying into it. If you told me what way you're going to bet Mississippi State over-under season win total, I'm going to take over 8 right now.
Joseph tweets, do absurdly high overs ever go under?
You know, I was looking at that. They do. You know, and I kind of misspoke a little bit. At least the 4 highest totals in college football history have all had a line of 88 or higher, 90 being the highest, that Cal-Oregon game. And out of the 4, 2-2. I mean, as far as the 2 games went over, 2 games went under. Bringing it out a little bit further, looking at it, you know, any game that had a total of 82.5 or higher, it looks like the over is about a 60% winning percentage. So, you know, a lot of the higher scoring games do end up going over the total. But I think a lot of that, let's keep in mind, you know, fresh territory for a lot of the lines. I mean, it's taken a while for these lines, you know, as far as the market, to reflect some of the higher scoring games in college football. And I think some of them lines early on were definitely maybe pricing the game a little bit short. So, you know, definitely, if you got a total in the early 80s, I would lean more over than under. At least that's been the history here the last 15 years.
Karen said there was a game at Doak Campbell decades ago between Florida State and the Salukis. She says, I don't remember the score, but everybody scored every time. I don't recall that one either. I'm sure,
yeah,
it happened. But
I'll have to go to the database for that one.
Yeah. We'll have to – some bean counter, look that up for us during the show. Hey, Brad, I'm going to let you out of here and get into your Vegas weekend there. Tell everybody one more time about Brad Power Sports.
Yeah, bradpowersports.com, and dead top of the page, make sure you're clicking on the Bill King tab. You can download my latest issue of my newsletter. Just got released this week, so a lot of fresh information up there, whether it be Game of the Year lines, whether it be the season win totals, you name it, it's free. You like what you see, why the heck not sign up for the upcoming season? Number one newsletter in the country, the last 3 years and combined in college and NFL. $69 for the season, lowest price offered. Go to bradpowersports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page.
All right, my friend, see you next week.
Right back at you. Take care, Bill.
Brad Powers, that's always an awesome, usually the whole hour. Once we get to the playing portion of the season, which is not far off, that will sustain an hour. We could do 18 hours of that, but it's always Friday in hour number 3. Brad Powers from out there in Las Vegas. It's pretty cool stuff. We always find those tidbit angles or stats, etc., that are very intriguing. Yeah, I remember that Cal-Oregon game from 2 years ago. I couldn't remember the score. I remember it was an incredibly exorbitant over and under, and I remember it eclipsed it. Imagine people betting that. You've got the over on a 90. I mean, it hit. Now, it had to go to overtime to hit, but it hit. That doesn't matter. That's amazing. In college, when me and my buddies would bet, that's literally about the last time I bet. I remember it was a Sunday, and my buddy's older brother, who was also a professor at the college, okay, was also a bookie, okay? So he would take bets, and of course he would take our bets because he would take our money every time. And it was a San Diego Charger, Dan Fouts game against, you know, Eric Coryell against somebody. And we took the under. And it was done at halftime. It was over literally in the second quarter. And I thought, man, I'm nailing this thing. I got this.
Never take the under, Bill.
I think he was by to get his money like 5 minutes after the game. Seriously. Just he was. He taught, I think, English at Tennessee. And he also was a bookie. And he was my roommate's older brother.
What a life.
Yeah. Making money, teaching English, and booking games. He'd book anything. NBA, NFL. He would also do this because this is 1980, okay, my freshman year. And obviously, we weren't online yet, okay? Now, ESPN had just gotten started. We had cable, but we weren't online. So he called about 9:30 at night. Hopefully he thought maybe we'd be drunk, which is even better, right? And he'd say, the Lakers and Golden State played tonight. Lakers were favored by 5. Game's over. Do you want some of it? And we'd pick it. Of course, he'd be wrong. He'd say, okay, I'll be by to get my money. Because we couldn't look it up. We were, you know, we're sitting right there. We figured, after about 5 of those, we figured it out.
Your friend's brother's a savage.
He might as well just put his hand right in our pocket, right? Okay, Bob up in Pittsburgh. Well, Charlie says we got to get the break. So coming right back from the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni.
No major accidents on your interstates and things moving really well. You are going to see slower traffic at the 4024 merger as well as the 6524 merger, but everything coming in from the west side of town out of Dixon County as well as the east side of town on 40 out of Wilson County and even coming up from Murfreesboro and Brentwood, you should not see any problems until you get into the downtown area. Charcoal Cowboys Barbecue is now open on Nolensville Pike in Lenox Village. They've won 50 National Barbecue Championships, so give them a try. CharcoalCowboysBarbecue.com. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Two of the most popular rooms in the house now have an event to match. The Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, now at the Home Depot, where you'll find a contemporary Glacier Bay Dorset Bath Faucet at a new lower price of just $39. High Arc, chrome finish. It's the perfect finishing touch to that bath update. And at this price, even easier to get your hands on. Save at the Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th while supplies last.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes for you to choose the font for the tattoo of your girlfriend's name, Tara.
The swirly one.
Begin tattooing and get a breakup text from Tara as you finish the last A.
Can you make it pterodactyl or something?
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 tattoo minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
The Acura TLX comes standard with 4 distinct drive modes. An integrated dynamic system lets you switch between Econ, Normal, Sport, and Sport Plus settings for adaptive control, making each drive as dynamic as you choose. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura. Precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Chance of storms this morning across Music City. Otherwise sunny and hot, a high of 91. Mostly cloudy, warm. Chance of a storm tonight, low 73. Chance of a storm and sunny and hot on Saturday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Hi, Bob up in Pittsburgh. What's up?
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, sir.
I want to talk about Mississippi State and Jomo down there. And so it got me thinking, I wonder what he's got on his coaching staff for defense. And I hadn't realized that Bob Shoup joined him.
Correct.
I got to tell you, Mississippi State's going to score points. I think their defense is going to be a critical segment. I just wondered, what do they really have on the defensive side of the ball?
They've got two defensive linemen that are first-round picks. They've got a stud linebacker. They've got a pretty good secondary. They're probably more gifted on defense than they are offensively. Now, I know what you're saying. Moorhead's going to score points because he's going to score points. I mean, Joe Moorhead could probably walk by a random pile of rocks and get 400 yards offense out of it for a game, right? I mean,
yep.
He's good. We know that. He's good. So, but they have a lot of talent. Now, the issue, and I think here's where you're going, Bob Shoup at Tennessee was a catastrophe. Now, maybe that's not on him, but that's what we saw.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and I think Bob Shoup did wonders up here at Penn State,
right,
with an understaffed team, and
right,
before that I think he did fairly well. So you know, you take the Tennessee thing and you may just throw it out of the equation and say, okay, that's a mulligan. But you know, if he returns to form, they could make some noise in the SEC this year. Because I'm very anxious to see what Jomo's offense does consistently against SEC defenses.
And he's got Nick Fitzgerald, who is a fantastic quarterback. The only problem is he blew his knee late, and we never know what we're getting when you come back from that. We just don't. So, and you got to remember, a lot of his game is running.
Well, one big strength that Jomo has is his adjustment at halftime. This guy is a master at adjusting, and I think that's one of the big questions for Penn State this year is, how does this coaching staff adjust to different aspects of the game? You know, what type of adjustments do they make during the game? Because Moorhead made a lot of adjustments that won a lot of games for Penn State. And I'm anxious to see him as a head coach. I'm anxious to see if that continues or if it's something he's going to rely on his assistants more. But I think, you know, Bill, I may just try to follow Mississippi State a little closer this year just to see how he does down there.
It's like I mentioned, man, at the SEC meetings, they probably got more praise than almost anybody. Alabama's a given. Georgia's a given. But, I mean, those broadcasters needed a bib as much as they were drooling over Mississippi State.
Yeah. Bill, I don't think he's going to – well, it'll be interesting. I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't know if they get Alabama or if they get Georgia. But, you know, as far as the rest of the league goes, I think they're going to be third, fourth, fifth position by the end of the year. I'm just telling everybody down there, don't underrate this guy. because he came to Penn State and he did wonders. I mean, look, Penn State's going to finally have an offensive line this year that has that's mostly going to be juniors, redshirt sophomores, maybe a senior here or there. When Moorhead was there, I mean, they did it with star talent. They did it with McSorley, with Barkley. You had Deshaun Hamilton at wide receiver. You know, you had Gesicki at tight end, but he hit a lot of their flaws. That offensive line was not up to par. Now, toward the end of last season, middle of last season, yeah, they started to come around because they were very young. But this guy's a master at hiding his weaknesses and working around his weaknesses during the game. So I'm just saying, don't underestimate this guy.
Bob, you have a good weekend, brother.
You too, Bill. Good talking with you.
Bob in Pittsburgh, big Penn State fan. Couple things here on Twitter at Bill is King. Brad Powers just tweeted, Florida State and the Salukis played once. It was 1982. Florida State won 59-8. There was no line on the game, side or total. He also tweets concerning Mississippi State. Mississippi State's season win totals in the preseason last 6 years. So this is 2017 back. 5 for last year, 6.5, 7, 7.5, 5.5, 7.5. So how about this? The year that Mississippi State, 2014, was the very first number one ranked team in the playoff rankings, meaning the very first release of the playoff rankings ever, and the new era, post-BCS, their over and under win total preseason was 7-5. And they were the first number one ranked team. Now, that didn't hold, but they were the first number one ranked team. That did strike me. I don't know about all the media days, the individual stuff. I'd say, obviously, Larry Fedora's got everybody in a tizzy because the media mob has decided that this is one of their angles that they want to conglomerate over. So they're just attacking the hell out of him. USA Today, fire Larry Fedora for his opinion on CTE. Fire him for his opinion on CTE. And then, of course, you've got the whole Aaron Murray questioning whether or not Jeremy Pruitt is a CEO. Which again, I've got no problem if that's his opinion. No reason to have to agree with every opinion out there. Matter of fact, our world is much more fun when we have disagreements, particularly in this business. I don't, you know, political, you can go there, but I just mean in what we do. It's fun. Varying teams and opinions and passions. That's what stirs us. Kumbaya is not fun. Okay? But to me, Murray was thinking more personally, at least that's my feeling, rather than factual. Now, again, I don't know. I can't promise you what Jeremy Pruitt's going to be. I think he's going to be a pretty good coach, but I don't know that. No Life says, Bill, shocking that Karen is wrong about the Noles again. Enjoy A&M and never winning big again. Karen is still a Noles fan. I know this. But she's concerned about the future. I think she's, from what I can tell, and again, I'm not on message boards. I'm just on Twitter. So I don't know what the fans are saying in the private message boards, but it seems to me there's a lot of optimism about Florida State. Karen's not one of them. She's in the minority there. I don't know if she has any willing accomplices that are worried about the future like she is, but she's not so sure that the future there is all that bright. And she makes that clear. I mean, she's not hiding that. And it concerns her because she doesn't want that to be right. She doesn't want Florida State to be bad. But she's worried about that. I get it. I mean, I'll say this. Jim down in West Palm is confident they're going to get back to the glory days. I'm not there yet. Now, I'm not saying that I'm confident they won't. I'm just not as optimistic. And the other item is, when Florida State's right, obviously they're great when they're peaking. They're natty. They're natty good, right? But there's never really been any competition when they're right. In the 90s, of course, you didn't even have the Miami affiliation. They played them, but it wasn't a league thing. And Miami, since they've been in that league, haven't been right. They got close last year, but they haven't been right by their lofty standards. See, now you got Clemson. It's a different neighborhood. And Clemson is what Florida State was. They're that good. They're elite. They're in that area. Now again, I'm not positive either way about Florida State. I'm in a wait and see mode with them. Now, if they lose that opener, which I don't think necessarily defines the entire future, but I think it's probably a bad sign about this year coming up because they ought to win that opener. They're favored by about 5.5, something like that. Anyways, at CrazyCharlie615, follow him on Twitter, at BillIsKing. And we've got a lot to kick around. We'll be back on Monday. Of course, Monday, no guesting. No guesting on Monday. Just me and you, 3 hours of hangout time. Again, at BillIsKing on Twitter. You can email me anytime as well, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. From the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni, Lash Paw.